still can't see well enough to read. So just from memory, I lost my vision years ago. I'm on my like third surgery, and I can see shapes and shadows now. 6 months ago, I couldn't see anything. First thing is approval of the minutes from the last meeting. We have a motion to approve.
I would like to make that motion contingent upon that we get it so the volume is higher next time.
You just have to speak loudly and you can hear.
Okay, everybody shout if you want to be part of the minutes, because it was really impossible to hear it when I was trying to catch up.
Well, I didn't even know how to get it to play on my computer.
It was probably playing, but you couldn't hear it.
Oh.
Honest to God, I have
really?
It right here, right next to the speaker.
And from what I remember, the next one is approval of this agenda.
I made the motion to accept the minutes as heard.
That's heard. Okay. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
And we're just wondering why they can't be typed, something can't be bulleted or transcribed.
It's a lot easier to follow.
If someone on the committee would like to volunteer to be the secretary and do that, I can distribute them. But the Board of Commissioners has allowed us to do that because of time saving measures. It would take 4 to 5 hours to type the minutes to decipher what people were saying previously. And it's much easier for staff to do it this way. So if someone would like to volunteer,
well,
to do that,
actually,
I
my
them.
Suggestion would be that they don't have to be copiously written, but you could just do an outline of the basic points that were discussed and any actions taken on those points. And I'm thinking a page or two. But I don't want to. If I'm here, I don't want to. You know, if you had the verbal. And you've had a couple of pages or a page and a half of just the high points, it might make sense. But when did that change?
Probably about a year and a half ago.
Okay, because I thought when I was here last year we had printed minutes that someone sent me.
It's been that way for about a year and a half now, at least the last year. Yeah,
okay, is there any way we can get that changed or talk to
it's a county policy.
The commissioners?
It's a funding issue. It's their time. It's
yeah, I understand. All I'm saying is it wouldn't take 4 to 5 hours. It would take an hour and a half.
I make the motion that you volunteer to be the secretary.
No way. I'm curious. Okay, we'll move right on.
Okay.
Complain, you get the job.
No, I think it's indicative of the importance placed possibly on some of the things that this group does. But that's just my guess. Thank you.
Who made the decision? Who would you go to?
The commissioners.
Charlie Messer.
Okay.
The second thing is approval of today's agenda.
Oh, well, that's heavy.
Well,
you thought
I could
write that one off.
So, do we have a second on approving today's agenda?
I second it.
All right. The first discussion, we were going to get someone from the county to discuss the Seven Falls Natural Disaster Area. Did you get someone to come in?
I asked the planning. I assumed that's what you wanted me to do, so I asked the planning director.
Okay. And if you would like to bring us up to speed on it, we would really appreciate it.
Well, I'm gonna kind of get a 6,000-foot view.
That's
and,
all we need.
If we have some questions that I can't answer, then we'll throw them to our staff, and if they can't answer, we'll have to get back to you. But my understanding from the county attorney, which is where we refer this matter, is that they are continuing in a lawsuit to use the bonded money, which is required for a project of this size, to find a way to mitigate the soil erosion control measures which were never put in place. At this point, the judge has allowed us to submit a proposal on how that can be done. We've contracted with a local engineer to produce that document. The document has been produced. We are now in the process of developing RFP so that we can hire contractors to perform the necessary mitigation. We expect that that will happen within the next month.
To be hopefully around the 1st of July, we'll be able to release the RFP and go out to bid.
At that time, the county will select the appropriate contractor for the work, and then we will be operating in a semi-supervisory role to make sure that it is accomplished.
Who is this contractor you're working with to submit the bid?
His name is Lapsley. He's a local engineer selected by the judge.
That did the original excavation and walked off and let it become what it is?
No, I don't believe at any rate that he had anything to do with it originally. But is that
correct? That's right. He was just the engineer on the project. He wasn't the one that was actually the contractor doing the work.
He wasn't the one doing the digging. He just did the original design.
Right. That's correct.
So but he is someone else is that did the digging and then walked off. The
but he is he's a professional engineer. And he has been selected by the judge.
Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't know if he was the contractor at the beginning that walked off.
The original contractor is not involved.
Okay. As long as the original digger, man on the ground that walked out, is not involved.
Well, you may or may at the end, just remember the person who is responsible for the development is the developer. They are the applicant. They are the ones who signed the permit. They oversee.
If you're
contractors walked off because they work.
Hey.
Yeah, but if you're going to walk off, at least don't leave it in a place where it's going to destroy the environment.
Yes, but if the person's not being paid, they can't stay there and spend 2 days with staff replacing whatever they did. They aren't getting any money, and they can't volunteer their time.
At some point, they need to see that this is happening and leave themselves in a position to where they're not going to cause $6 million worth of erosion and damage.
Mr. Chairman, I might add that the state of North Carolina has an interest in protecting the streams and the quality of the water out there, and there is a regulatory process that NC DENR follows, as well as the Army Corps of Engineers, and we also regulate the map of soil and erosion control, which is within the city as well. We're sort of compelled to basically.
Could you state your name for the record that we didn't?
John Mitchell, I'm the Business and Community Development Director here. For the record.
For the record, yeah.
The audio record.
John, just quickly, last year when I was here, and we talked about this issue at every meeting. At the last meeting I was at, there was no money to do anything.
Right.
Now, and I'm sorry, I missed your first couple of statements. That money was found through, I know we went after some money that from the bank or the lien holder on some of the property.
Yes, we did. This money, however, is bonding money that is required to be set aside in cases such as this.
Okay, so it was set aside early on by the developer.
Right.
It was just a matter of getting our hands on.
Right. We had to go civil procedure.
Okay.
First, they had to do a 2-year default. They had 2 years to get it fixed before they defaulted, and the county could go after.
There's a lengthy and technical process that's
good. And how much is the estimate on what this is going to take now to fix?
I don't have that number on the caretaker staff.
Roughly?
Close to
$6 million.
At least $1 million.
And you'll know more when you get the RFPs out, obviously.
Well, the RFPs are getting ready to go out. It's just going to be for a small portion of that.
Oh.
Around 250 or so. And that is just going to be for an emergency work plan for us to go ahead and do the grading and restabilize everything, because even if the county entity, we can't go in there because all the permits have been revoked. So if we go in there and start doing work, we are in violation of the DNR and Army Corps as well. So that's what's going
to happen. We have to work through those agencies because they
Right.
And this has been how long has this been going?
This process?
Years.
It's been at least, I guess, 2 years since we've been trying to collect the bond money. It's done through an improvement guarantee, and it allows for subdivisions to go ahead and record lots before their infrastructure is put into place. State law requires us to offer improvement guarantees, and they can do that usually in the form of a letter of credit, cash on deposit, or a performance bond. This developer chose to do a performance bond, and typically what happens is when they default, the bond company comes in and actually completes the work. But because there was so much work and so many entities, they didn't want to come in and complete the work, and we kind of had to fight them a little bit to get them to release. And that was what the settlement came to be, that they decided just to write us a check for the money and just to have it.
It's further complicated by the fact that there are strings on the property, and we are required to work through. Resources in the Army Corps of Engineers out there in the grave.
So even though you're trying to do remedial work to the damage that's been done and improve the condition, you still have to go through hoops with people that are supposed to be protecting the condition and not, I mean, they're supposed to.
I would characterize it differently by saying that NC Diener and Army Corps of Engineers are continuing to exercise their authority to protect streams and waterways.
Mm-hmm.
But I that's fair.
Hopefully, though, you should see some work starting. The plan is to actually get the contractor selected so that the work can start getting done mid-July. And we're kind of against the clock because we want to get everything done and get everything seeded by September. Otherwise, if we're not careful, you know, time is of the essence. We're going to get back in and we're not going to get any grass to come up and stabilize it before we get to time. So that's our goal right now, is to do that and get everything stabilized as much as we can. And in the meantime, work with the property owners and the court to try to come up with a plan that everybody's happy with, knowing that we're going to spend the money until the money runs out and go as far as we possibly can.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure.
I'm sure you went dumpster diving to get these because you wouldn't have not used your own cloth bags, would you have?
No, I went and pulled them out of the recycling bin at the Ingles. Now, you might think that I did it just to be annoying. And that would be really in character for me. But I did have another purpose. I wanted to physically put them in your hand so you can see just what a nuisance. Animals choking, them getting in the rivers. Eastern North Carolina has a ban. You can't even be caught in possession of one of these. If you got your choice of having one of these or an ounce of pot, have the ounce of pot in Eastern Carolina. And they get in the waterways, and they kill the fish, and they were such a marine environmental disaster, Eastern Carolina just said, you can't have plastic bags. So it is possible to get them out of the state. What I would like to do is more like California. You can have plastic bags, but they cost you a nickel each. And by charging a nickel each, everybody in California instantly cured their case of CRS and started using cloth bags.
Well, I believe we do not have, according to the minutes that I was listening to, our town council does not have that taxing authority to do that. I think you'd have to do the bag.
They call them a waste disposal fee, and you can add it on to the nickel bag.
Who collects?
the county would, when you go to the point of sale, Ingles or Walmart, they would have to ring it up like an item, and it would go into a tax.
How about, this is very interesting, they cost 4 cents a piece. How about doing a carrot instead of a stick? Where I shop over at the co-op, they give you a coin every time you use a cloth bag, and you get to choose what charity it goes to. Way back when at Wellspring in Cary, North Carolina, they actually gave you 5 cents off for every cloth bag you used. Incentivize people rather than punish them.
And that's an option, except
it would be to their benefit to do that.
99% of the public suffers from CRS, and that's why you have plastic bags.
What is CRS?
Can't remember.
But if you...
If I could just make a comment, I think Bilo is already doing that somewhat.
And of course, Sam's has done it all along. There's no bags, and we still shop there, and we still, I have my bags in my trunk, and they'll give you the cartons that they're just going to have to pay to recycle to use instead.
And it would be real nice if all of the retailers would step up and do it.
I don't understand why they don't. It would be to their benefit.
Because they're afraid they will lose one customer. Walmart will never do that because they're afraid they might lose somebody to Target.
If an individual retailer wanted to do it, that'd be fine with me, but I am still not for any government action.
Government regulates every bit of your life.
Yeah, we know.
You are on a government committee. If you don't believe in the government, you need to go home, hide in your basement.
I believe
that's how the government works. We speak.
That's what we're here for.
Where were you in your social studies?
We are government.
It works all over the world. It's how they get rid of these bags everywhere.
I think you're exaggerating. Not everywhere. It's not black and white. And there's gray in the middle. It's not everybody does this. They do this everywhere. No, it doesn't work like that.
I think since they are doing such a good job other places, that the issue may have diminished. And it may not be quite the disaster
well,
you think it is.
If you look at it, there's 120,000 people in the county. They use 5 to 11 of these bags a week.
I don't believe that a lot of people use cloth for using the bags now.
Go stand in Wally World and look, and you might see 1 out of 200 people coming out of there with a cloth bag. That 199 are sitting there burning up these plastic bags and filling the landfill. And 99% of them are not recycled.
We still need to let individual businesses or individuals decide what they're going to use. You can't force them.
California thought otherwise.
California doesn't want to bring us aside.
We're living in North
Carolina to get away from California.
Eastern North Carolina thought otherwise. Virginia is talking about putting on a 25 cent a bag tax.
See, because other places do it, doesn't mean it makes it right.
Yeah, other places do it because it works, and it's the only thing that works.
Well, yeah, if we stood with a gun at the checkout line and said, don't you dare use a plastic bag, that would work too, but are we going to do that?
I'm still not for it.
Mr. West, can I make a comment?
Sure.
I came in here with a little presentation. First of all, my name is Chuck Breckheimer, and yes, I am related to Katie Breckheimer. She is my sister-in-law.
And Katie Breckheimer is?
My sister-in-law.
But who is she?
But why did we bring her up?
So soon you forget.
Oh, I guess we don't.
She was head of the of SWAC, Solid Waste Advisory Committee, before it got folded in with the county agency.
Okay.
So, I just put down a few figures here to sort of give you an idea of the scope of the problem. 14 of those plastic bags will require enough petroleum for making it and energy.
Is
distributing it. To drive a typical car 1 mile, 14 bags. And there's some statistics on there about how many bags we throw away a year and, you know, a million cars around the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The point is, those bags are made of oil. And if we don't avoid using them or we don't recycle them, we are pouring oil down our landfills. You might as well take the 100 milliliters or so of oil that it takes to make a bag, you might as well pour it in the ground, because that's what we're doing.
And
so
the animals wouldn't choke on it.
Yeah.
By eating it. And it wouldn't
well,
be flying
if,
around.
If you look at it that way, a lot of people feel that some of these issues with petroleum-based products are a national security issue. Because, you know, we would rather have the material to heat our homes or drive our cars or run school buses than pouring it into the landfills. So, and on a local level, I did talk to several Ingalls, either store supervisors or associate supervisors. Indeed, the cost is about 4 cents a bag for one of those things. 30 to 35 boxes of bags. That's 2,000 bags in a box. 2,000 of those bags is a lot. Is used every week or two. So I did some calculations over on the right-hand side. And, you know, you can argue a little bit about the numbers here, but it's a lot of money. For a medium-sized store, it's approaching $100,000 a year for bags. And that's one store. How many stores does Ingalls have? 150? That's a lot of money. And it would be better to save that money, I think, and perhaps give people lower prices on food. So I would agree with you all that this is not the right time, I don't think, to put in a restrictive law. I would rather give people a chance to do the right thing.
And
because
lobby Walmart, for crying
I
out
do,
loud. Shame on them.
See, Walmart's got to get its groceries out the door. So if people don't bring their own bag, then we need to encourage them to do that.
Every time you bring your own bag, you get a certificate toward buying another bag, or
sure,
you get
sure.
a, you know.
I would prefer to think that people will do the right thing if we give them some incentive.
If it took 3
so,
years to get people trained.
So here is my proposal. I believe that the grocery stores, specifically Ingalls and the others, have made good progress towards getting bags out to people. They have sold the bags, you know, the reusable cloth bags, for 50 cents, or in some cases, many of the grocery stores have given them away on numerous occasions. So I think for a lot of people, the bags are out there. And just let me take a quick poll. Out of the four of you, how many of you have cloth bags in your car? Some. Now,
I use them sometimes. Sometimes I don't.
Sometimes you forget, right?
Well,
I forget all the time. I got a whole bunch of bags in my trunk. I forget all the time to bring them in the store. So my proposal would be put signs in the parking lots. Don't forget your bags. This is Harris Teeter.
I remembered my bags because of those signs.
Yeah, this is Harris Teeter. They've done a very good job.
Who are you paying for the signs?
I think they got Western Union to sponsor them, because it says Western Union.
Over on Spartanburg?
Yes, that's just down where 176 comes off. And they've got these very nice places where they have cart returns. And it says, don't forget your bag, in big letters, and it hits you in the face, and you go and get your bag, and you bring it in.
I thought it was the bags out.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, I think that's what I've seen.
I just would want to say that I'm not sure about a couple of these facts, but that's kind of splitting hairs.
Well, you know,
as far
I,
as the paper bags go, I don't believe, and I could probably get the data from Eastwood, that they produce 50% more greenhouse gases. And as a person who owns a paper recycling company, I do believe that there is some biodegradability, far more than a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
That
certainly could be. And granted, there are some of the plastic bags do get recycled.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if more got recycled, but even better than recycling is reuse.
Mm-hmm.
And the cloth bags certainly offer that. So my proposal would be that we encourage the grocery stores especially and retail merchants in general to put a sign up in their window or in their parking lot that says reusable bags. Now, I was talking to one of the high folks up in Ingalls bureaucracy there, and he said, well, we don't want to put up any new signs in our parking lot, putting pipes and signs and so on. And I said, you're right, but guess what? Your cart return says Ingalls, 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 and in the corner of each sign, there's a 10-inch by 18-inch area where you could basically put a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You get a heavy-duty bumper sticker, put it in the space on the signs that are already there, and it maybe costs you $5 for one of these. Heavily laminated on the front to make it water or weather resistant, sticky on the back. I've talked to a couple people, they can manufacture these things in any size, any message you want for about $4, $4.50, something like that. So if you divide 450 cents, which might be the cost of one of these, by 4 cents a bag, if as soon as Ingalls or one of the other stores saves 100 bags, they paid for it. And after that, it's all profit. And I for the life of me, I can't understand why Ingalls would not like to save, let's say if we are optimistic and we say this causes maybe a 30% recycling rate, that's $27,000 a year for one store. One store. So
and
I think
they're working on like a 2% margin, so any little help ought to be very attractive to them.
And I have not gotten a very enthusiastic response from Ingalls yet, but I'm working on it. So whatever you all can do to encourage people, I think, to do the right thing by putting these signs up in the parking lots would be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a store like, say, Staples, where they don't really own their own parking lot, they probably buy into a lease arrangement there, they could have one of these signs on the door
mm-hmm.
going in, maybe a big one on the window, so
mm-hmm.
that people will say, oh yeah, I got those bags. I'll just go get them. And
especially
so on.
If you could get 4 cents off your bill for every
that would
bag
be
you don't
that
use.
Would be another way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this has the virtue of it doesn't cost very much, and I think it would work. So my advice would be to give people a chance to act responsibly. And people like me who forget their bags won't forget them, and we'll see less of those around, I hope. It's a first step, anyway. Now, we see how it goes. My guess is that if Ingalls and the other grocery stores made a good pitch to their customers about how much this costs and how much they would appreciate it if their customers would use the cloth bags.
And how what wonderful good citizens their customers are if they stop clogging up our mutual environment.
So all the things that Mr. West was talking about with the animals and the disposal and so on,
hinge on when you open that car door to get out, you want a reminder that there's an alternative to this thing.
Mm-hmm. Reminder or not, the plastic bags are available. People are going to use them because they're there, they're free, and they don't have to remember anything or buy anything.
Well,
as
I would,
long as
I would take a more optimistic
people
view.
People will use.
Yeah. Well, we've had
10 years now of plastic bags, and you got maybe 1 in 200-300 people using them.
Yes. Well, I don't know. It would be interesting to see how many. Maybe we should do a little survey and see.
As interesting as it is, 3 million of these bags every month go into the Henderson County landfill.
Yeah.
And it's time to stop being interesting. It's time to stop giving chances. And it's time to take action. And just say, no more.
Well, that brings me to the point of what this committee or board can do as
far as... We can send it to the county commissioners and let them decide. Mm-hmm. But unless we send it to them, nothing gets done.
Right. So... You've
got 5 Republicans, nothing will still get done, but at least we can send it to them.
Well, I thought conservative came from the same root word as conservation.
That's right. My suggestion then would be that if we send anything at all, that we encourage them to explore some options like yours.
It would be a good first step. Mm-hmm. And we could see how it worked, and then, if necessary, to choke off the supply of bags in the landfill, maybe we're going to do something else. But I would say, give our people here in Henderson County a chance to do the right thing,
and give the producers a chance to say, in 3 years, we're going to do away with plastic bags because. And meanwhile, we'll give you 4 cents a bag if you don't use plastic bags, and you can save your money up and buy a cloth bag. And,
Or maybe we should encourage the manufacturers to offer cloth bags at a greatly reduced price, and eat the cost of that a little bit, and then later, and then as soon as they start recycling the plastic bags.
I frankly just don't see the point of going through any sort of government agency to do this. I mean, if a store voluntarily wants to do this or not use them, whatever. But why would you go through the county?
And in fact, all the managers and people that I talked to in all of the grocery stores, and it was maybe 5 or 6 total, said that they thought this would be a great thing to do. They said it would make their life a lot easier because they wouldn't have to buy all these boxes of bags at $80 a box.
And
so why are they doing it?
Why isn't there an environmental board?
They were being polite to him while he was there.
Right.
And then he left, and they smiled, they nodded, and they went back.
Or they may be waiting for a directive from on high.
I don't see where our county commissioners can send out edicts to these people and say, you've got to post these things. My suggestion would be that they, maybe they could put out some information that says, here are some ideas for reducing plastic bag usage and have these things.
Well,
but my thought is that isn't there an environmental...
ECO, Environmental and Conservation Organization. That's what we're
right. Are you thinking of ESG?
No, I think ECO or whatever. This is a gentleman that has the continuing column or did in a local paper.
Yeah,
yes, yes. Yes.
That's the gentleman.
Right, okay.
He's
so
no longer the executive director, but still a gentleman.
Okay. And that's a good thing. I would think that that would be an organization that could formalize some things to be given to our stores here and let them look at those ideas. I mean, and decide whether it makes sense for them financially and everything else.
It's clearly one approach is to go to these folks and say, we would like you to do the right thing also.
Mm-hmm.
And if they need a little incentive, maybe we could say, well, Vilo does this, Harris Teeter does this,
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do to keep up and project a favorable environmental image?
With the concepts that you were talking about as far as a carrot, not a stick, I mean, the
no.
5 cents off your bill or whatever, just different, there's obviously your signs, there's a lot of ways that they can creatively encourage people to use reusable bags.
I think so, and it would save them a lot of money.
And it is to their benefit. I mean, it's so obviously to their benefit.
Well, maybe you'd like to come along with me when I go out to Black Mountain to the
Listen,
corporate headquarters. And
I'm thinking in terms of getting school children to pick up them.
No, well, politics
with
is
a camera.
Politics is the art of the possible, and you all will have to decide what you would like to do. But I hope that this gives you some ideas.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Well, is the ECO doing anything? Chuck is on the
recycling. Chuck is on the recycling. He's the chair of the recycling. We've been working on this idea for over 6 months, talking with Ingles and other grocery stores. We've gotten nowhere.
Okay.
That's why
we're
going to discuss it with them, but we can get some help.
What about other stores like Home Depot, Lowe's, where they have a heavier bag? I can tell you those. I have a publishing business, and we do marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have checked the price of a lot of different kinds of bags. The heavier plastic bags like Staples uses, for example,
mm-hmm.
cost considerably more than 4 cents.
Yeah.
So those stores, how about that?
I went to Lowe's yesterday, and I brought
a bag. Yeah.
No, I brought a bag for me, and the cashier said, you know, I've been here for 3 years, and you're only the second person who brought his own bag.
The best one, I went to Walmart, and I had 4 bags with me. I set them on the checkout counter, and then I put my stuff there. And I got to talking to my son. And then I turned to pay her and looked. And she had folded up my cloth bags and put them in plastic bags and then bagged all my stuff in plastic.
I'm surprised she didn't charge you for your cloth bags.
Best.
I'd just like also to mention that, I don't know if any of you shop at Aldi's, but Aldi's does not give bags at all. When your business is booming, you have to bring your own bag, or if you want to buy your own, then charge it. And people, it's amazing, they get rotten boxes.
That's right, Sales Club doesn't have.
Right.
With the 4
but it's all these, they tell me that it's
growing
and they get
where Piggy's is, Harry.
Oh.
Behind the
so
steak place.
They don't do it, if they yeah.
Long.
I know some in another area of the country, I saw that the Publix was passing out reusable cloth bags, and they were doing it like one day a week for a couple of weeks, but they had a charity logo on it. So I think that they were helping the charity and also passing out reusable bags. Yeah.
Well, who did? Well, there was a local store that did them for a school, that if you used a cloth bag, you got a credit that went to your local grade school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many things they can do if they choose to do it. But I think it's just a matter of, like, we all know we need to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, well, some of us don't know because they don't need to know, but some of us know we need to eat better. But we can't get the government coming after us to keep us on the treadmill.
Well, if the government doesn't come after you... Yeah. I mean, the government is there to get rid of problems.
No, the government is there to protect our rights as free individuals.
And our property.
Right.
It's not there to fix our
Without
problems.
Without government regulations, you still have terrorists hopping on airplanes. You've got people breaking into houses.
Don't
government
going
is
on the
there to make regulations that benefit the larger group of people.
I think we can probably discuss this all evening. Anything else we want
to
do?
All right, but this committee is not here to make policy. This
yeah.
committee is to advise the county commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like is for the committee to send a resolution and say, yes, this is a big problem. 3 million plastic bags or more hitting our dump every month for no practical purpose. You need to figure out something and let them decide what to do.
Could we ask them to make a resolution that we in Henderson County would really appreciate it if our retailers would start following a certain set of things to get rid of them down the road?
My suggestion would be that somebody bring something next time in writing that we can all review and agree on, because I'm a wordsmith, and I would want to know what it is and how it's stated that we are going to.
Next time, one of you will be chair, because Paramount paid me some serious big bucks, and I'm out of this town. This is my last meeting.
Oh. Well, maybe we'll take that up next time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
If I could make a suggestion, a lot of different ideas have been mentioned here today, and they range all the way from passing a law to maybe giving some of the pat on the back from the back of the cafe. My suggestion would be to present a list of options to the commissioners, and since they're going to be the ones
to decide.
The
commissioners are the ones that act. All we do is advise them.
Well, that's
this
what
is
I'm
a
saying.
Problem, and you guys need
but
to figure
need to
a way out.
We have something in writing that we present to the commissioners. That's
and
all I'm saying.
All we can put in writing is we consider this an environmental problem that 3 million plastic bags are hitting the dump. And you guys need to figure out something to do to mitigate this problem.
I'm still not.
They make all the policy.
Well, I'm not for the 3 million either. See, that's why I'm saying.
120,000 people.
No, I'm not going to question your math. I'm just not agreeing with you that that's the magnitude.
And that's
or
a minimum.
That if we can say that we believe that there is a problem with plastic bags and that we would encourage them to consider some options for reducing that amount. I mean, we're getting close to something we can send to them.
Well, you write it up any way you want.
Yeah, you might want to write it up. You have all those good ideas.
We can't tell them what to
okay.
do. All we can do is advise them that we consider mm-hmm. this is a problem you need to consider and act.
Okay, I'll write up something that says, this is a problem.
That's all
because.
We do not make policy. We make policy.
We would like the commissioners to consider some options. One option would be to ban plastic bags.
We don't even need to go that
far.
Other
than
I'm
not going to
assign that. We need the commissioners to consider options for reducing.
Some are better than others.
What about getting some of the private groups who are so interested in business, like Partners for Economic Progress and some of the other groups that are very business oriented to do this with us or for us, not the county, but
is inform the commissioners that yes, this is a problem.
But suggest
and
that maybe
that you need to look into
that maybe it be directed towards the chamber or towards PEP or whatever. So
they'll have a meeting on it and people will go and discuss it.
Yeah.
But unless we tell them this is a problem you need to look into, they won't look into it.
Okay, well, maybe you can draft something up and we'll review it next time.
I mean, if we can have a state duck or something, surely we can have a state pet project.
I mean, we don't need to do it today.
Yeah.
We just need to let them know that this is a problem and they need to look into it.
If we could be of any help, because they're very critical to
this county.
Numbers or taking surveys or whatever.
Could I email to you a proposal?
One way of maybe Chuck can send you something and you comment on the
letter.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you draft.
You're really busy.
Oh, am I? Yeah, that's a
if
good
you want to draft something, that would be terrific.
Because I think the suggestion here to go to the business organizations too, not just to directly to the stores, and I think also going to the stores that are brand name, you know, that are big chains, we're talking to the wrong people. We should be talking to
They're the ones where most of the bags come from.
Yeah. As committee members, we shouldn't be talking to them. All we're doing is advising the commissioners.
Yeah.
Our job is not to do anything. It's to advise.
I want to go out with a picket sign.
And as a private individual,
I may
you're
do that.
Welcome to it.
Yeah.
But we are an advisory committee. We're not a policy committee or an action committee.
This is filling up our landfill. This is hurting our bottom line as a town.
And
this
animals
is hurting
are
our
choking to death on
them.
Yeah. And they serve no purpose other than convenience for someone to use them 10 minutes to haul groceries home and then put on board. And they serve no greater purpose to humanity.
Moving right along. So you're gonna email me and we're gonna get together and change business cards.
Give you my card.
Okay, let the record read that we're tabling this. And we're going to work with ECO to come up with a possible proposal.
Possible
proposal.
Statement to the commissioners.
Mm-hmm. The statement just means there's a problem, you've got to look into it. We are not telling them what to do about it.
Right.
Just look into it, guys.
Okay. Because that's what we're here for, to advise them on the virus.
Yeah,
basically,
this is a problem. Look into it.
Yeah.
And that's all we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Roger, we'll go next.
Well, next, if I remember, is just any new business. And if anyone has any new business, okay. New business.
When I listened to the notes online, I called the people that gave the presentation, and I downloaded their PowerPoint presentation. I had some real problems with are going along saying to the presentation.
When you say we going along to the and saying do you mean we
this
board? Okay.
And then if we were asked by the county commissioners whether we ought to spend money on installing plugs for electric cars, I think we ought to be aware of some of the problems with some of the fuels that they're proposing. I did a lot of research into the advisability of encouraging the growth of a particular kind of fuel in our town. I have statistics here on whether how expensive your automobile is if you run it on electricity versus running it on gasoline and but I can't even take electricity seriously enough because I also have great numbers of statistics about the amount of pollution that is put out when we generate electricity. It seems that the purpose of having an electric car is to prevent pollution. It's certainly not, according to the studies I have read, viable to save money or to save fuel or to because it costs just as much if you take the government subsidies out of it, which means that every dollar that goes into a government subsidy is really at least $2 because it has to be administered before it comes back to us. Electricity is dirty. You can't run a car as efficiently as you can on gasoline. It's just beyond the pale. And if anybody wants me to go chapter and verse and show you the studies, I'll be glad to do it. So I think we need to be not talking about electric cars in our town. The ethanol, the E85, is again making people starve to death because we're making grains too expensive. The blowback from some of these is just incredible. When they ran a car from somewhere California to Nevada and back, both using ethanol and then pumping out and cleaning the tank and using gasoline, it came out as a wash as far as energy per unit of fuel.
kilowatt hour or something. But it also had, I have some things to pass around. No, I'm doing the plastic bag thing. that recent concerns have surfaced about the efficiency of ethanol production. Some critics have actually said that it's a negative energy source, meaning that more energy is required to produce ethanol than it delivers as a fuel.
Is this ethanol?
Yeah.
Saying okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Also, it's particularly hard on third world countries and causes inflation in our country because every food product you buy has something to do with corn at some point. I brought these for everybody to read.
Thomas?
Yeah. So offhand, I think that probably ethanol is a bad idea. Ethyl ain't no lady. Then we get down to propane. Well, which is a little difficult to package and hard to pump and scary and blows up and very expensive to pump. And out of the six, I think we have three viable candidates to alternative energy. Natural gas, which is out there, it's cheap, it's American, it doesn't pollute as badly. Anything anybody wanted to do to promote that, I'm gung-ho on that. And biodiesel, which is, what percentage of our industry in Henderson County is agriculture? Granted that you're taking away from growing soybeans, but for people to eat. But biodiesel can be produced from waste, and there is a station already going, producing biodiesel from waste oil used by the restaurant industry. It could also, in an emergency, be grown in our valley if we couldn't get supplies from outside the valley. It also does not require conversion the way propane does and natural gas to convert your existing vehicle. So you can, I've read that there's a problem with the rubber seals, gaskets in your engine, that you would have to use a synthetic gasket, but that would be the only thing you would have to change to switch over to biodiesel. So offhand, I would say if they say, somebody comes in and says they want to build a biodiesel facility here, that's a good thing. If they want to change our buses over to natural gas or even propane, that might be viable. But let's avoid the ethanol and the hydrogen, which explodes.
It's not a problem.
Details. It's hard to handle. I just wanted to go on record that there are some pigs are more equal than other pigs in the alternative fuel area.
I'd like to add to that. I had a discussion with Rocky Hyder about the reason they're not using biodiesel. The emergency services and fire department and some other fairly critical entities are a little concerned about the reliability, long and short term, of biodiesel, which is a reasonable, in their position, it's a very reasonable concern.
Getting the supply.
No, just the effect of, it has a very cleansing effect on the engines. It strips out the carbon and within the engine and clogs the filters.
You have to change the filters.
Quite frequently until the engine has worked its way through its cleansing cycle.
And you have to change your gaskets.
And these people have to get some from point A.
And
point
they have to get point for an emergency.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the maintenance and the cost of the multiple filter changes and the possibility of a potential in situ crisis where they're on their way and the engine just stalls. There has been some catastrophic failures and tests relating to the scraping of carbon off the inside of the engine and getting ripping up the cylinder, the piston rings. It's very technical, but these are problems that they look into, and I can agree. I've been very heavily involved in ethanol and biodiesel in my work. I can say with natural gas, the equipment and the portability of it is very, very expensive compared to propane. Propane is manufactured from natural gas anyway, but it's liquefied much more easily.
You put propane at the top?
No, but that technology already exists, where natural gas is an emerging technology, and it's also a very expensive one.
So, and they have converted some on the fleet. I'm not denying that it works. It's just an expensive solution. Propane is already, people have been operating propane trucks for decades.
Buses.
I mean, buses, garbage trucks. The propane delivery trucks run on propane, a lot of them, obviously. It's just a simple conversion, whereas the natural gas conversion involves special tanks, high-pressure tanks, special fuel lines, special administrative devices, you know, in the engine that handle a special meter, special pumping. It's very different. Ethanol is shrouded in so much baloney from both sides. Ethanol is there because the Midwestern corn growers, it's a subsidy for them. That's why it's there. But it works quite well if the manufacturers optimize their engines, which they haven't done. I drive a truck that has been optimized. It works great, except I can't buy it here because the state of North Carolina has made it so difficult for them to, for the gas station blenders and pumpers to meet the requirements that they said, we just won't sell it. I have to go to South Carolina to get my fuel.
Plus, it takes more ethanol.
It doesn't. That study has been disproved. It's been I don't even have to read it. I can tell you it's been disproved 2 years ago. It's a lot cleaner. I mean, there's a lot of good things about it. There are several bad things. The major point is you do not need to use corn to make it. You can use anything that rots.
Yeah.
See, that's the point.
That takes you out of the third world.
Right.
Yeah, and the other thing is, just to set that opinion straight about stealing food, the food value still is retained when they process the alcohol. All it does is convert the sugars. The starch and the protein remains in what's left,
and
that
for
cattle feed, and they've been doing it for decades. Mm-hmm. No food value is taken out of the corn in the process. The problem is that it is not the fuel so much; it's the market. In other words, the brokers say, "Well, gee, if I can get $5.20 a bushel from the ethanol people, and I'm only getting $4.96 from the food people from Kellogg's, why should I sell it to Kellogg's?" Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It's not even the farmers so much. It's the brokers who have, by the way, nothing to do. They don't do any work. They don't produce it. They don't use it. They just broker it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, and they're very powerful. They're very, very potent people, and that's why we're getting reports like this. You know,
well,
that everything's bad.
Like frickin' factories.
Well, Cornell, the professor at Cornell, named Pimentel, was the one who promulgated that more energy than. Cornell's a wonderful institution, but, you know, this guy just went off and did his study and was very good at publishing it. Hydrogen is off the table, and it just doesn't, that's just not.
Scary.
That's just not a modern, that's just not an immediate, there's no solutions. But I would say that electricity, for those comments, I don't expect that we'll convert to electricity in 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years, or whatever. I don't think people have that kind of money to buy new cars at that rate. If everybody immediately went to drive electricity, we would not be able to charge them with it. We don't have enough capacity to charge even a portion of them. So I wouldn't worry too much about them, because that's the kind of thing that we can ease into.
Asheville's
they've got stations set up. They've got the biodiesel manufacturing facility set up. Electricity makes sense on a small scale too. I wouldn't be too negative about the electricity.
I couldn't get more negative if I tried.
Well, yeah, there's in the short term it's actually not a bad thing. In the long term we have some real problems to solve before we look at it. We need transition fuels. That's the point. We need clean transition fuels. We cannot bump up against a situation where we have no petroleum and then say, okay, now what?
But we weren't going to bump up against a situation
that has
no petroleum.
I don't believe that. I've been a journalist for 33 years. I've been almost strictly involved in fuels, and I can guarantee you we are running very, very short of oil. And if we have to sabotage our drinking water in North Carolina to fracture rocks and possibly sabotage our drinking water just to make cheap enough fuel that we export over half of it, I think that's a problem.
Is there a study that shows that anyone has been harmed in their drinking water?
Go to Pennsylvania and New York State.
Well, this is getting into territory beyond, but it's, I mean, everything you read and things I've seen and studied aren't lacking oil right now. But anyway, let's just go on. What was the
upshot? Not right. Well, the upshot is that I think this is a good point, but I think we should be a little more critical, or not so critical, about the order in which you.
Were we asked by this organization? You just are saying, wait a second, they presented this, and I just researched it, and I'm coming back to say that I don't agree with everything that was presented.
If I'm not mistaken, the county was asked to participate in the regional, Land of Sky Regional Council. That's where it came from. See?
It's actually a U.S. EPA program that somebody at Land of Sky helps administer,
right,
that we are a part of, among other counties and businesses in our region. There's probably about 50 to 60 people that are participating, most of them private businesses. And the county, because we have some of this infrastructure in place, is there, so we're able to get research and information and grants. We have been for a number of years. But it's a U.S. EPA program.
Right. So that's
okay.
That's our.
And then we're here just to give information. Just this is what we're doing. Do you have any questions?
I do.
Well, they were here the last time.
I wish I had been here.
Yeah. No. Well, anyway,
they're very nice things about calling and talking. But there's nothing we can do about being part of this program.
We have been part of it for years. And we're part of the program because we were helping. It's a U.S. EPA program. And the program is not advocating one fuel over the other. It's just alternative fuels.
It's just putting alternative fuels.
They don't dictate to us what we have to do.
And their goal in the end is?
It's a clean city. It's the U.S. EPA Clean Cities Program to advocate alternative fuels and research. So we don't have it. Yes.
All the things that come out of Land of Sky's an advisory council. The legislative decisions that are made in and for Henderson County are all made by the county commissioners. These folks, working through the EPA grant, simply provide information, and they administer grant programs. So we can choose whether or not, in the end, to participate. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is.
We've already had them described as wing nuts by one of our people in Partners for Economic Progress, if you remember that. So gives you an idea of where the position is.
Who's the wing nut?
The
Land of Sky people who made the presentation are a bunch of wing nuts, quote unquote. Is Mr. Rogers here? No, he's not. Okay.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the community, the HUD grant, probably. Was he the man that...
They actually hired him or asked him to go up to listen to the presentation, came back with that report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all. I just wanted to say, let's not have stations if we can avoid it.
If there's no more new business, we will adjourn.
Good luck in your future endeavors.
Yeah. I got a check for a little over $2.5 million, and I've got to be in Mexico City for something.
Yeah,
cool.
Sounds good. You would email us
you
when
wrote
it comes up.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's called Double Check, and they're filming it.